they had a joke or whatever about Burger King's Baconator. Obviously not Burger King. Obviously not Burger King. Never has been. Burger King. It's a Whopper, guy. It's a Whopper. Okay? Ourselves creating another late night episode, because that is the only free time one has, and it's sucky. It's sucky for the moment, but what makes it all worthwhile is knowing someday it'll change, someday it'll be different. But much like making a podcast, having no experience in podcasting, you just kind of shoot for the moon, hoping there's some sort of benefit. And it's like, I've been sitting here trying to record this episode for, I don't know, the past hour. And if it's not one thing, it's another that takes me away from being able to accomplish said recording. And now that we got things rolling and I'm going into it, some tiny bug flies across the room, and I gotta watch for him in the hopes he gets close enough that I can attack him without actually having to stop recording, because I care. But I don't know, guys, I'm kind of annoyed. I mean, I'm a lot annoyed right now, and I hate trying to record episodes when I'm in that mode. Because I feel like my mother, and I feel like once one bad thing happens, once one thing goes wrong, well, everything's wrong. And I remember growing up and seeing my sisters get in trouble and be happy that it wasn't me, but then all of a sudden, oh, it turns to me. Now it is my problem. Now I am in trouble. Like, dude, focus your energy on the one thing. And my one thing, there he is. See, the bug just flies right by me. Close enough where I can reach him, but too late for me to swing, you know? So I gotta wait again. And I'm gonna get talking and then lose my train of thought, because this bug is going to disrupt this episode the whole time. I have no idea, guys. Really, it all started with just my lack of inspiration to even do this. Not podcasting in general, but recording today's episode. I didn't feel like it, man. I really didn't. And then it only got worse as I decided to record the episode, only to have disruptions. Other things happen that take you out. And those of you that don't podcast, you don't have any comparison for this situation. I would suppose if you're an artist of some kind, then yeah, maybe. Because I feel the same way when I'm doing an art project. The deal is, if I start the fucking project, I'm gonna need to finish it. There is no, well, we'll put it off for a day and come back to it. No. Okay? I have to finish it. It must be complete. Or at least completed to the point of my satisfaction. Now, what is that? It's very dependent on whatever it is that I happen to be doing creative. Okay? Like, for instance, this episode. I feel comfortable enough to sit here and record this whole episode, and then I could go without ever thinking about it or listening to it for several days. That doesn't bother me nearly as much as the obligation of, like, oh, I need to get this out. I need to make sure that the listeners have this, or I need to make sure that the viewers can see this. All these different things. So I can understand my own frustration in the fact that, I mean, and anybody who podcasts, your frustration in being interrupted while doing it. It's like, yeah, I can't stand that. Even though I know coming into this episode that I don't have anything. I don't have really much to talk about. I'm not sitting here with a notebook or a notepad of any kind in front of me, you know, with notes prepared for this episode. Not this time. Okay? Excuse me. Not this time. Alright? Usually I do. Usually I put together quite a few different topics to speak on throughout the week. So I have them ready for, you know, you get it. And I feel like I don't today. I know I don't. What am I saying? I feel like I don't. I actually don't. There is no feeling of don't. There's just don't. And that's just because this was an episode that I've been trying to put together for the last hour to use my new equipment. And I know there's a lot of people that listen to the podcast and they think that it's unacceptable to talk about these things. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people out there that don't podcast that might want a podcast that can use this information. So I could really care less how you feel. And I guess that goes for most things. Like, there's people that create podcasts strictly so they can build an audience that they can converse with. They have similar thoughts and feelings and vibes. And yeah, I want that too, but I don't need the converse. We don't need to talk. You know? If you like it, you like it. You don't like it, move on. And speaking of that, Bobby Lee actually said in his recent podcast with Steve-O, he said, you know, there's stuff that I really enjoy, like the Beatles' White Album. But the entire album isn't great. And anytime a song comes on that I'm not a fan of, I just skip to the next song. And the whole thing is people want you to do that with other things that you don't like. Instead of feeling the need to go out there and put some shitty review and make yourself feel bigger, I guess. And yeah, I totally agree. There's a lot of stuff that I don't like. There's a lot of podcasts that have talked shit about me that I could go out of my way and leave a nasty review on their thing. But I don't, because that's how little they matter. But what does that say about me, too, as a whole? To think like, oh, I could respond. I have responded before. And it's gotten to the point now where I'm like, yeah, it's fine. But they're still talking. They're still bringing me up. They're still reviewing shows that no longer exist. And I like that. Dude, I deleted an entire YouTube channel. Like, I don't know, 60 videos or something. It might not seem like a lot to you, but it is to me. And I got rid of it because I don't really care. I still have the content. It still exists for me only. But that's how much it doesn't matter. Like, I don't know, I feel like people think they're accomplishing so much when they leave a nasty comment or review. Maybe your goal is to make a podcaster or anybody who does anything quit, right? Like anybody who leaves a review on Yelp for McDonald's, maybe their goal is to get McDonald's shut down and destroyed. And it's like, dude, we've came way too far for that to even be a possibility. And I'm not saying that's the same thing for me, but it's almost like you're embarrassing yourself for trying. Because I'm nobody. Right? Got the bug. He's gone. Boom. You see that? You see how it all came full circle in a sense? You come to the podcast. Oh, he's not done. Down with the sickness. I don't know. That's just a weird thing to say as you murder a bug. Down with the sickness? I mean, yeah, kind of. Kind of. Especially if it's a mosquito. If it's a mosquito, guess what? There was a sickness involved with those fuckers. And you know what? I grew up in an area that was heavily infested with mosquitoes. Not a fan. not a fan. But now I ultimately forgot what I was saying. I guess it just boils down to the whole idea of, like, people just need to, you know, focus on you, man. If these people that spent all of this time reviewing everybody else's shit, leaving multiple reviews or negative comments, if they spent half of that time on themselves or their creation, they'd probably be more successful and happy. They'd probably get to a point where they don't even have the time to leave comments or reviews like that. Like myself, I do way too much podcasting and other things that I can't put myself in a position to give a shit about what you do. Nor do I honestly even care if people like what I do. Right? I'm not sitting here even, you know, pandering to the people that like my stuff. Like, oh, you know, there's 10 of you that really dislike what I do, but let's not forget, there's another 65 that really enjoy my stuff. So those of you that enjoy my stuff, please go leave a nice review. Like, no, I don't even ask. I don't care about it. You have to be really narcissistic, I think, to beg for that. Right? It feels like if people like your stuff, they're going to let everybody else know. Without your help. Without your say. And then to find out that there's these other podcasts or big name comedians or just famous people in general who have a Patreon. And not only do they have a Patreon, but they have thousands of subscribers. That's crazy. I mean, you think 1,000 subscribers for $5 a month? It's a lot of money for a month, man. A lot of money. But it's not that much to the individual. The individual's paying $5 and getting whatever, one extra episode a week, whatever it may be. But there's thousands of you. Oh, man, that's bizarre. That's so much money. And I don't have that. I don't have thousands of people on my Patreon. But I have enough that make you feel like, okay, fine. I'm here for somebody. And they're also here for me. So it's a very cohesive relationship in that sense. Because by now, you have a little bit of an idea how I feel about those things. Because I have mentioned it. It's usually on Patreon. And those of you that are on Patreon are the select few that I really enjoy. But let's be honest. There are people out there that are so dumb, they're willing to pay you to get the exclusive content to make fun of it. Does that make sense? Like, there's probably people out there right now subscribed to Bobby Kelly's Patreon simply because they dislike him. They hate what he does. And they just want to have something to talk shit about. It's weird. But they will do that. People hate watch and hate listen to a lot of things. It's almost unlimited. So yeah, I could sit here, anybody could sit there and say, yeah, it's a fucking, everybody that's on my Patreon, those are my ride or dies. And like, nah, you can't guarantee that. You hope. You hope. Because it seems a lit, obviously strange for anybody to pay money for something that they don't like. That's absurd to me. That has never made any sense. Okay, what are you getting out of it? I don't know. But the truth is, they're out there. There are those people, and it doesn't make any sense to me. I'd never do it. And honestly, the only time that you would ever catch me leaving a bad review or comment is when something annoys me, specifically on YouTube comments. Like, I'll see somebody say something. Like, I heard this podcaster the other day say something like, they had a joke or whatever about Burger King's Baconator. Obviously not Burger King. Obviously not Burger King. Never has been. Burger King. It's a Whopper, guy. It's a Whopper. Okay? What's McDonald's? Big Mac. Alright? Baconator? Wendy's. It's been Wendy's since Wendy's was a thing. In fact, I would imagine the Baconator sandwich is why Wendy's was successful. I'd almost guarantee it. So, of course, I get perturbed when somebody says misinformation like that and they're not corrected. When they're not corrected, I gotta say something. I gotta say something, and of course, it is usually from the perspective of an asshole. And that's fine, but hey, man, be right. Be right. Or at least put yourself around people that are willing to correct you when they think you're wrong, even though you could be right. I mean, we all have the ability to at least verify if the information is true or not, right in front of us. You grab that phone, you say Baconator, what comes up? Surely, not Burger King. And the fact that my biggest issue isn't even the fact that people say wrong information. I'm sure I've done it. But it's the fact that there's no one. You're doing a podcast with someone else. That someone else knows the right information. They have to. That's what they're there for. And when that doesn't happen, when they don't achieve that goal of correcting the person because they should, because it's benefit, you're not hurting that person at all. You can't feel like a jerk by correcting somebody on that. That's helpful, especially if they're using it as a joke, some sort of a bit they're going to perform with on stage. If that is the case, you want that person to be as correct as possible, as factual as possible, instead of, I was telling that story about my Baconator experience at Burger King the other day, and, and then the story just keeps going, and the guy's not like, oh, by the way, Baconator, obviously not the main sandwich, or even a sandwich that exists at Burger King. And I'm sorry that I get so frustrated at something so little as that, but when you're a connoisseur of sorts, all right, of hamburgers, specifically burgers themselves, be right, man. Be right. Or be corrected. That's my biggest thing. Correct him. I've never had a problem in my life being corrected and it be factual. It's one thing for somebody to try to correct you and you know for a fact that you're right. It's another thing to be corrected and you both simultaneously find out the proper information. But when nobody's correcting anybody, you get a podcast like this. Little Debbie was certainly not little. There's just no way. You see that? I segue from McDonald's. I wasn't even talking about McDonald's, let's be honest. But fast food into snack food. But that's because I didn't have anything to talk about today. And I figure, hey, sometimes the best content comes from hitting record, because I'm one of those people that does a podcast and feels like, I can't have dead air. And honestly, like I said, it all rests on me. That's why I will stutter certain words on purpose. I don't have to stutter. I prefer it. It's necessary to drag out certain words. No, I'm just kidding. It happens on accident. Happens on accident because I'm also trying to think of what I'm going to say next without leaving too much dead air for the listener. Is there any other podcaster out there that does it by themselves and also talks as much? Even if I only do a half hour episode, check the word count. Match word counts. Half hour episode compared to the average hour episode. Who has the most words? I'm curious. Somebody do it. Give me the information. But I do want to go back to really why we're here and recording an episode at all. And then we'll close it out with some pretty fucking just bizarre information. But we're here recording today simply because I obviously wanted to get you guys an episode. I told you I didn't even want to do the episode, but we're doing it anyways. We're here, we're sitting here, we're recording. Nothing going on. But I needed to try the new equipment. And it's not the microphone. It's not headphones, not a laptop, none of those things. It's simply a handheld voice recorder. Now, I don't know if I mentioned on this podcast, but I had talked about it before where I was making that decision. I have wanted a voice recorder, a handheld recorder, for as long as I've actually been podcasting, I think, because I feel the convenience is there. If people have a better chance of talking on your podcast if you just shove the microphone in their face, right? Like, you don't say, hey, man, could you meet me at this time, this place? Nah. How about, I'm going to ask you a question. You say the answer into this mic. Outside the target, whatever it may be. And not even just that, but I felt like my podcasting equipment, I have such a large setup that it's inconvenient to really just record anywhere else. I have to record in the same spot. And that's really all I've ever wanted. But as a podcaster, as somebody who's fascinated with ridiculous shit, I find myself constantly throughout the day like, I want to record, can't get to the place. How am I going to do it? So I've set up other areas in my living space to basically all I need is a computer. Bang, I'm ready to go. And even then, I'm feeling like that's just too much to break down the computer. And yeah. So I went looking around, tried to find a cheap handheld recorder, because every time I've went to an actual store, they've been so expensive. $40 fucking dollars for this tiny thing that's easily going to break at some point. Nah. So I'm looking online, and I happen to find something that looked like it would work for what I wanted. And what I wanted was the ability to plug in a microphone, plug in headphones, hear myself while I record, and then fit it in my pocket. And then also be able to transfer recorded files from the device to the laptop to edit. And the thing that I bought, I think I got it for like $21 or something like this. It had all the inputs. It was perfect. There was only one real issue is while you're recording, there was a couple instances throughout the recording where it sounds like the mic just stops. So it'll skip a word. I haven't edited using this one since I got it, so I'm not sure if it does the same thing here. But as you hear, the original voice recorder is gone. And most electronics, I feel, have a lifespan. They're not going to last forever. But this thing was brand new. I just got it not too long ago. And it's already gone. I had it plugged in one day. I transferred files the day before. I unplugged it from the charger when I noticed it wasn't turning on. It was kind of hot. It was hotter than it's ever been before, but I was still like, okay, let's let it cool down and see what happens. Nothing. I waited 2 or 3 days, tried it again, nothing, plugged it in, nothing. I was like, shit. Well, this thing's ruined. And of course, while it was ruined, I spent many days thinking, I really want to record right now. Really would love to record. That'd be great to record right now. It'd be so good. But then I realized, oh yeah, the thing's gone. For no fault of mine. So of course I end up on Amazon. I'm looking around trying to find another one of these things. And I'm looking for something very specific, so it takes me some time. I'm looking for something in a price range, because I'm not willing to spend $40 on the fucking thing. No way. So when I find something in the price range that I'm willing to go, I pick it up. I put it in my cart. The only problem is it's a renewed Amazon item. And in my experience with the renewed items, it failed. It stopped working after 3 days. So I went ahead and got it, obviously. I went ahead and got the voice recorder that I was under the assumption was going to die in 3 days. I don't know. I've only had it for 2 days thus far, so who knows. But It's not the same brand, obviously, but here's the thing. This voice recorder, it has weight to it. Like, it feels like it's made out of sturdy materials, metals, you know, coppers. Maybe even some silvers and nickels, I don't know, but it certainly feels heavy. The other one didn't feel heavy, it felt like a toy. But it worked. And it worked well. Outside of the little glitch situation. But this one, like I said, so much different. It's almost twice the size of the other one. It has an actual brand. And it's a good brand. It's Philips. And you might have heard of Philips. They do a lot with electronics. And this was cheaper. And that's what really sold me. What sold me is the fact that it was cheaper and aesthetically better looking. Cosmetically better looking. I was happier with the way that it was made. The way the buttons are put together. It's a simple design, but it's sleek. And then the fact that it was like 73% off on Amazon. And that's always, I shoot for that type of thing. Okay? I'm not looking to buy something that's going to be a piece of shit. I'm looking to get something that was highly priced, but is on sale at a ridiculous discount. And it's happened to me many times where I just recently got like $30 headphones, wireless earbuds for $9. That's good. That's very good. I'm so happy with that because I used to be the guy that would buy DVDs at, you know, Walmart when that was still sort of not a thing. It's much more not a thing now, but people still bought DVDs there for a while, and I would be psyched at the fact that I could get such great prices on newer DVDs. So I definitely shoot for the same thing when I shop on Amazon. Now, I feel like I'm dragging this on quite a bit, but, you know, it's because I care. But this Philips brand, so good. I got it for $14.90, and so far, so good. Not an issue. It just took me, I would say, probably about an hour to figure out exactly how well it worked. If I could monitor myself. If my microphones worked. And the microphone we're using today is an actual studio microphone. It is not a handheld mic. It's a condenser mic. And there's no phantom power supply. And somehow, it sounds like this. Okay, guys, honestly, I just wanted to close this episode with something I found very intriguing. Now, I've never been a person to watch, you know, these Dancing with the Celebrity shows. Anything that involves a celebrity doing something that celebrity is not known for doing, not great entertainment. Okay, it's like how often Bert Kreischer talks about the two shows that he did that were epic failures. It's like nobody wants to see a guy they've never heard of jump out of an airplane, okay? If that's what you want, you could easily just go to the place where that happens a lot and stand outside. You don't got to film it. You don't got to watch TV. You don't got to pay this guy a bunch of money to take part in it. But there's a show called Dancing with the Stars, and apparently it's a big deal. A lot of people love this show. It's done very well, but I've never watched a single episode. And I'm not bragging. I'm not saying I'm better than you because you probably have. I'm simply saying that, dude, it is weird that that's even a thing. Because when I think about the show Dancing with the Stars, my first idea is like, how do they win? Who wins? Which person is the star? Is it the person that is teaching them how to dance and dancing with them? Or is it the person that used to be in something significant 15 years ago? Because that's what it really is. I mean, realistically, most of the people that they're getting on this show are people that have failed careers. And they need somewhere to go. They need to make a buck. They got to stay relevant. I'm surprised Aaron Carter and Amanda Bynes haven't shown themselves. haven't shown their face tattoos over there. But really, I gotta wonder, how do you win? Dancing with the Stars, how do they win the show? Do they win by being the best dancer? So you're saying that people are voting, if that's how it goes, or is it just judges that say who's the best? I don't know. Never seen it. In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, so what happens is simply people are going to choose. If the people are voting, they're going to choose for the person that they like the most, the best personality, the prettiest, the handsomest, whatever, okay? But if it's up to the people that are actually judging the show, like a pair of judges or whatever it may be, there's a good chance that they're going to judge it on the actual technicality of the dances being accomplished. Is that the concept of the show? Because then again, you have to circle back and say, hey man, how important is dancing? You know? How important is dancing that we're competing against each other? When I think the reality of it is, if you can dance at all, you could probably do that person's dance as well. You know? Like Michael Jackson has the moonwalk, but we've also seen everyone else do the moonwalk. So I don't understand, you know what I mean? Like, because he's the first one, there's significance. But outside of that, it's still just a guy moving in a direction. And honestly, I didn't want to preface this little ending here of this podcast with all of that. But, I mean, honestly, I never even talk about this stuff because, like I said, I don't indulge in that entertainment. But I can't help but to wonder what the hell's going on when the new season coming out has Carol Baskins. All right, that's bizarre, that's weird, and I think that really tells us more about who we are as a society, as a people in America, to think that somehow that lady is a star. Because that's when you have to bring up the argument, who's the actual star then? Because now, due to the popularity of the show, there's a good chance, what? The dancers that are teaching these celebrities how to dance are more popular. But to think that somebody like Carol Baskins is somehow a star, a celebrity, so much so that she's going to be put in a dance show, I mean, the amount of money they had to offer her has to be ridiculous. And then, same thing, I don't know, I've had this theory since the damn Tiger King documentary came to inception, and it's dumb. It's a horrible, horrible thing to watch. It's garbage fucking TV. It's a garbage documentary. This whole story is stupid. The most intriguing thing about the whole story is the possibility that she might have killed her first husband. Outside of that, you know, the blonde-haired guy doesn't matter. The recording studio and animals don't really matter. The whole story itself is so confusing where you're just like, I don't understand why people gave a shit about this at all. I mean, if you want to, you can see that exact same story minus the tigers at any trailer park USA. 100%. Go to any trailer park in the USA, there's a good chance they don't have tigers, but they do have a lot of stray cats. Okay? It's a similar situation. Same exact voices, teeth, attire, personality traits, everything about... I mean, also the other intriguing thing about that documentary was the kid who shot himself accidentally, I guess. There are several things that make it interesting, but the fact that the world, you know, clamored onto it for no reason... And they didn't give you any real reason. They were just like, oh, Joe Exotic, just the coolest guy. He's not cool. Garbage. Carol Baskins, she should kill her husband. Let's make t-shirts. Garbage. You know, the guy with the bad teeth, the one boy. I would say the most normal person throughout that entire thing was the guy who witnessed the boyfriend shoot himself on accident. Outside of his terrible vision, the guy seemed normal, right? But now... she's somehow so popular. It's got to be a little ridiculous to be somebody who has gotten pop and then they live on, you know, they continue to live up to that name. I mean, I'm not even making this argument or saying these things because I have anything against Carol Baskins personally, but I wouldn't even want Joe Exotic on there. That's not a famous person. That's not a celebrity. That's not a star. That is somebody who hasn't accomplished anything in the entertainment industry. That's somebody who was filmed living their life. And you're now telling me that we have to appreciate this person to the point of celebrity? Like, come on, dude. I've seen the local weatherman at the supermarket before, and I wasn't in awe. And he does more than Carol Baskins as far as entertaining. He has to read a teleprompter. He gets makeup and hair. She probably did too, but she also was just doing her job, you know, doing her job. She didn't have to read lines. She didn't have to memorize anything. The things that were filmed, the things that were put into the documentary, were cut from several months of filming. Okay, imagine the other boring ass things you got to see this lady do. And we're supposed to be like, oh my gosh, she's so entertaining. Can't wait to see her dance. Get the fuck out of here. Absolutely absurd. Absolutely worthless. So I guess I'll say I'm rooting for Charles Oakley. Because he's on there. I don't know. Like I said, this is a place where bad celebrities go to try to reinvent themselves as something else. Or ex-athletes just proving they still got something. They still got the ability to dance, because that matters. It, you know, there's so many things that people are taking away in our society these days. It seems about right that dance gets taken away. Truly. Truly. It's, and clowns. Dance and clowns. Don't need them. No use for them. They've been bad since they were invented. Okay? And also, anybody who enjoys being a clown or enjoys dancing, they gotta go. You're done. We don't need you. Alright? We don't need somebody who has a great physique that can move to the sound of the music. Not into it. Alright? Two-step. Off time. I'll accept you. Same thing with being a clown. If you're gonna dress up like a clown, you better be in a horror film. Alright? Outside of that, don't need you. Because there's never been one time in our society where we've seen a clown and thought, wow, hilarious. That guy's funny. He gets it. Never. Never one time. Never one time. Think about it. The most famous clown, or put it this way, a person to be a clown and become ultra famous in comedy has only happened one time. And it's not because he continues to be a clown. Essentially, a stand-up comedian is a clown, but minus all the, there's a word, theatrics, I guess, sure. It's Steve-O. Steve-O, right? Steve-O was a clown. He went to clown school, okay? And he found a successful career as a comedian. That has never happened any other time. I guarantee you could go and interview every other comedian who is a professional that gets paid to do comedy. If they've ever put on a red nose and a white, you know, face paint and performed for children and made animal balloons and what have you, I guarantee you 99.9% of them will say no. Never. What? No. I tell jokes into a microphone in a t-shirt. So, I mean, the science is there, folks. And honestly, I don't know what got me to this point, but hey, that's just facts. Steve-O is the only clown to actually be a successful comedian. Never happened any other time. Throughout history, the most famous funny people were never the guys that wore fake hair and, you know, size 22 shoes. Is it 22 inches? Is that what it is? Because if that's the case, then how come when you look at this, your shoe size, and it shows you the European size, it's like 491. You're like, really? Sounds like a weird thing to go into a shoe store and ask. Hey, do you guys have these in a 491? What? Seems like, let's be realistic there, Europe. 1 to 20. Anything outside of that, you're a monster. Anything under that, you're a child or also a monster. If your feet are too tiny, you're a monster. Your feet are too big, you're a monster. Just accept it. Your feet are too flat, you're a great swimmer or a duck.
Who decided the animals have paws?
And people have hands and feet. That guy's an asshole, I think. Because raccoons have hands. You know? Koalas and monkeys have hands. But also, Edgar Allan Poe wrote a story called The Monkey's Paw. So, is it a monkey's hand? He has a thumb. He has a thumb, but Edgar Allan Poe said it was a paw. So, is it a monkey's paw or a monkey's hand? What's the difference in the paw? What makes it a paw instead of a hand? What makes it a foot instead of a paw? Because most of our feet look similar. I mean, a duck's foot is not a duck's foot. It's not called a foot. It is something else, okay? But it does look like a human's foot, okay? People have webbed feet. So technically, you have a duck foot, or a duck has a human foot. It's all very confusing, but that's what we're here for, guys. Late night stuff. Thank you so much for tuning in. After PM. Good night.